Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Congressman Devin Nunes, who is podcaster Devin Nunes, who is author Devin Nunes of Countdown to Socialism, to comment upon the tragedy in front of us in Kabul, in Afghanistan, these last days. Congressman, you've consumed the news, as we all have, in this retreat from Afghanistan. The planes are leaving even as we speak. The military is withdrawing its security limits even as we speak. The estimate by the commentators in London is that thousands will be left who deserved an opportunity to leave the country because the Taliban is vengeful. I don't know what the number is for the U.S., but that in London, they're heartbroken about this because they could not get their people out, the people they wanted to bring out. You've witnessed this, and Congress is returning after the Labor Day holiday. What do you make of how the Biden administration has presented their withdrawing from Afghanistan?
Well, it's nothing short of an unmitigated disaster, and I think you're seeing that now play out. But what it really goes to is the core idea that Obama, back in the day, and the far left, all thought that if we didn't use the term radical Islamic terrorist, that the Taliban and others would play nice and we could work out some coalition government. So for years now, John, they've been having backroom secret talks with the Taliban. The Trump administration continued part of that and, of course, set a conditions-based withdrawal, which, you know, I think most of us knew that have watched this over the last 20 years knew that the Taliban would never meet it. But the one thing was certain was that we would hold at least one major base in the region, and that would be the Bagram Air Base. And, of course, that was let go a couple months ago, but left a lot of us scratching our head because it was such a fortified base. We had invested billions of dollars into it. And, you know, whether or not you're going to leave Afghanistan and not involved in nation building, whether Kabul falls, whether or not they can form a unity government is irrelevant to the fact that after 20 years, thousands of Americans killed, $1 trillion, a lot of us believe that, hey, that's a strategic location for us. We've made the investment. That base is ours, right? Similar to Guantanamo, similar to Okinawa. It's just a key location. Why? Not just because of the counterterrorism capability, knowing that Al-Qaeda continues to grow, even though Biden completely ignores that. But also you've got ISIS, which is an offshoot of Al-Qaeda. So you've got the very real counterterrorism issues, which Bagram allowed us to get out and venture out to there. But also it will allow us a presence to support any resistance fighters, which right now we are seeing some of the old Northern Alliance folks. You know, they have repelled the Taliban. I know you talked to Tom Jocelyn and Bill Rajo. I'll leave that to them. They are the experts. I believe it's the Panjshir Valley. They were able to turn back the Taliban. So, you know, having that air base there would allow us, over the future to use counterterrorism and to support any opposition movement to, you know, maybe save a few innocent people from being massacred, which, you know, the massacring has already begun. The bloodletting has already been done. It's being covered up by the fake news. I know this because I'm receiving pictures and videos from sources that we have on the ground there. There's a major massacre going on that I think over time will eventually come out. But let me talk about the reason why, the larger reason why we would keep Bagram. And that is because of our number one nemesis that's really trying to for global domination is China. And at that point where Bagram is, it gave us a great access point throughout that entire region, because without that base, we're a little bit flying blind in the region. We have to go a long way before we can get anywhere. So the long-term real strategic planners at the Department of Defense would never throughout the course of military history give that location up. In fact, anybody that has ever played a game of Risk, you know, you wouldn't, the old board game, you wouldn't give that that location up. It's just, it makes just such common sense when you, knowing that your foes in the region, not just that Pakistan is a nuclear armed force and they've never been helpful in the terrorism issues. And of course, with China trying for global domination, why on earth would you give up a major facility like that, especially after all the blood, sweat, and tears that we have? So, you know, I'm convinced. I knew the people in the Trump administration. They always wanted to keep it. Any military personnel or intelligence people you've talked have always said, why would we ever give that up in the long run, even if you're not going to be involved in nation building, which, by the way, I fully support. I think the Afghanis had plenty of time to try for nation building. We wasted way too much money on that. And quite frankly, our State Department and Defense Department just aren't built anymore to be able to nation build. So the fact that that Bagram's now closed, when that happened, John, I think a lot of us believed that, well, they must be down to just a few hundred people, some special forces guys, and they must have a plan to build an air bridge to quickly be able to get in and get our people out of the embassy when the Taliban come, because it was obvious the Taliban were going to take over Kabul. No, everybody knew that. I mean, you just common sense. You were watching them go through the whole country like wildfire. So, you know, in fact, I said it on national television just 4 weeks ago that we're going to have a tough time keeping control of our embassy. So knowing, you know, if we got it's dangerous, and I don't think would follow typical Department of Defense protocol and State Department protocol, but, you know, you could probably leave a few hundred people there with some locals and be able to get in quickly as the Taliban approach and get them out. None of us, John, after they closed Bagram, none of us thought that there would be tens of thousands of people still on the ground. It's absolute madness. There's no excuse for it. And this is why you're seeing so many people who are now blaming Biden directly because he's just telling so many lies. I mean, he lies about Al-Qaeda not growing. That's a lie. I think he's also lying about that, oh, he just listened to what the military told him to do. Look, I've never heard a military person tell me anything other than Bagram in the long run is of strategic value. What we're beginning to learn now, and there's more to come on this, and I'll just close with this, is the word is that from the National Security Council, from the White House, what they did is they said that they were going to have a limit of the number of troops that could be at Bagram. And that forced the military commanders to say, well, and the number right now they're saying is 600. Well, with 600, we can't secure Bagram. That's not enough to secure the facility. So it basically forced the hand of the military. So Biden and the socialists are having it both ways where they say, well, it wasn't our decision. Well, it was your decision if, in fact, you put the limit of 600. And that remains to be investigated. If that's true, if they really did that, I think there will be huge ramifications in the long run after we've conducted the studies and the investigations into how such a piss-poor decision was made that ultimately has killed over a dozen of our soldiers and Marines. And we're going to be lucky if we don't lose more, not to mention all the other innocents that have been murdered here.
And your observation, Congressman, this is not over. This will get worse. Is that a fair way to put it?
I think it's look, we're in the waning hours here. Anything can happen. But look, the reality is going to be there's going to be many Americans, many Westerners left there, or at least people that hold a green card and passports. There's going to be, I mean, we're already seeing the videos and photos that are coming out of people being massacred. So there's going to be an absolute massacre. I think the only window of hope, the only light is, you know, can there be an opposition movement in the Panjshir Valley? But that's going to take, you know, time for that to develop. And of course, you know, that's going to take the United States also, you know, deciding what side they're going to be on. And right now you've got the Biden administration who is giving every indication that they're going to give money to the Taliban and recognize the Taliban. And that's going to become a huge fight in the Congress, because I think the Republicans are saying, no, we're going to support the people that have been with us. And what you have is the former vice president who, unlike President Karzai, who left and fled Afghanistan, who, he, you know, he was kind of a total disaster. But you have the vice president who has a long track record there. His group, it seems like, you know, he has not fled. They repelled the Taliban. That could be the only kind of ray of light that there would be to get remaining Americans out going and taking over a base.
You meant President Ghani, Karzai, if the previous president.
I'm sorry, Ghani. Yes.
Who is yet to be heard from. He's in, the last time I saw, he was in the UAE. Congressman Devin Nunes is also, podcaster Devin Nunes, is also author Devin Nunes, most recently of Countdown to Socialism. The fog of war continues on Kabul. Much to learn from Congress when it returns and when it begins asking questions. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.